time. Thank you first for the opportunity to talk to somewhat broader audience about questions that we are asking in string theory. Yes, I'm sorry. That is far. My approach would be to try to hit some in-between level, and please interrupt me, by which I'll try to highlight to non-experts about the issues that we are addressing, and if hopefully possible, also about some of the techniques that we are using in this approach. So, the core of this program or questions that participants of these workshops are primarily addressing is to connect string theory build bridges to particle physics and also cosmology. So if I start on this side, we are dealing with real world, real experiments that tell us something of hopefully both issues of particle physics and cosmology, and it's then a theory that we consider fundamental theory that hopefully would explain some of the things. So the path from experiments back to interpretation of what we understand at our energies about issues of particle physics and cosmology, and then the next step to see how string theory could explain some of these properties. So as far as particle physics goes, those have been experiments ongoing for more than 30, 40 years by now. And we are all in big anticipation of large linear, large hadron collider. Yes, that was a slip. Which hopefully would shed new detail light on the particle physics as we understand it today. So as far as field theory aspects, describing what we know about particle physics nowadays go has to do with the fact that we have tested in great detail what we refer to as standard model. As far as content of this elementary particle description is based on certain symmetries, local gauge invariances that encode strong interactions in terms of SU3 color and electroweak interactions in terms of local gauge symmetry based on SU2 left cross U1 hypercharge. So associated with this field theoretical models, this gauge symmetry pretty much forces us to very specific couplings between particles that mediate interactions. In this case, those are spin 1 particles. So they carry in ordinary space the vector index that goes over 4 space-time dimensions. And depending on what kind of symmetry they have, they carry additional quantum numbers. Yes? That are in the so-called adjoint representation of the symmetry groups. Like we have 8 gluons, and here we have actually 4 gauge bosons, 2 W bosons, photon N for electric interactions, and another neutral gauge boson. So the symmetry completely fixes for us interaction between particles that mediate this force and particles that feel this force, which in this context are quarks and leptons. So quarks and leptons have different charges under the symmetry, and then accordingly they interact in fixed interactions with the corresponding spin one particle. What is key again is the actual representation of this matter field under this non-abelian gate symmetry, and prototype are quarks, which are doublets under the color, triplets under the color symmetry, so we have three colors, or what we call fundamental representation. They transform also non-trivially under the electroweak symmetry. They are doublets under SU2, and they also have this additional charge, which I think for the case of quark doublets is of that structure. And then this is actually what we refer to as left-handed quarks. And particular prototype would be doublets associated with up quarks, down quarks, and they come in three colors. And so since they transform under this particular symmetry, we refer to as left-handed quarks. We also have quarks that are singlets under the symmetry. Those would be right-handed quarks, but they are triplets under SU3. Right-handed down quarks, triplets under SU3. As far as leptons go, they also appear in certain multiplets of the symmetry group, and so in particular they are they don't see the color, so they are singlets under this symmetry, but an example of them is they are doublets under this symmetry, and I think this is going to be this. Okay, hypercharge. And so the prototype would be things that we refer to as neutrino, as left-handed neutrino, and electron guy. And then accordingly also right-handed electron, and in most models, because by now we know that neutrinos are massive, we would also have another partner of this one. This is actually the basic content of the standard model. So associated with spin one and matter fields, but now we also are dealing with the issue of certain replication, because along with each of these families of up-down quarks and leptons, we have two identical set of fields. So they actually come in three copies. So there is another index associated with the family. All the same quantum numbers, the only difference is there are three copies of them. And another difference that has to do with them is that they actually appear in, they have at low energies, different masses. So masses of them are actually unequal. And very intricate story also with neutrinos as well that enters into this family replication. Okay. So those are the core things associated with the particle spectrum in this context that we call standard model. We also want to have the candidate that would break the electroweak symmetry down to electromagnetism with massless photon, and for that we need another field that we refer to as Higgs field, and it turns out to be, it's associated with the breakdown of this symmetry that we observe down to just electromagnetism, and so as a consequence, the candidate that could do that would be a Higgs field that would be doublet under this symmetry, and actually in supersymmetric versions of this theory, we have two guys of that type. Is this field that we expect to condense at TeV scale and make any sort is the reason that spontaneous symmetry breaking takes place and gives mass to W's and Z gauge bosons, which we have already observed at experiments. However, what we are after is to really understand the detailed mechanism, how the symmetry breaks, and that's one of the reasons the LHC is being built. So within field theoretical model building of particle physics, there are a lot of different directions that we can pursue. So if we stick to field theory, so maybe I should go models. Basically, the techniques we use is building consistent quantum field theories of particle interactions that potentially can go beyond just standard model content and free parameters that will accordingly, you know, be mapped onto the experimental data for masses. But we want to understand more dynamically or in some more details how, for example, to explain fermion masses. If there is supersymmetry, so if we promote all those particles that we observe at low energies now to superfields that have, in this case, integer Gaginos, integer spin, sorry, half integer spin Gaginos, and in the case of matter fields, integer spin quarks and leptons, we want to test now the theory. We want to build the models that would have predictions for experiments. So as far as supersymmetry goes. So there are more ideas in building models. So I should probably call that models beyond the standard model. Okay. And so this is field that has its own life for a very long time, almost since the original proposal of the standard model. And all the inputs that we were putting into consistency of such constructions were really based on consistency of field theory associated with non-abelian gauge invariants. So there were models that were addressing also unification of those different forces, grand unified models. In somewhat string-inspired contexts, there were models based on having extra dimensions. And so on. So it's this intermediate model building from what we know for sure experimentally at this point that that was then used to connect to current or future experiments. Maybe, namely, one has to make these models beyond the standard models that are beyond this minimal structure that we have, to not to be excluded from experiments, so compatible with experiments. And then model predictions. Additional prediction of specific model. So what we want to do with string theory in this context is actually believing that string theory is a fundamental theory of all the interactions of nature, including gravity, but also, of course, particle physics. We want to construct solutions, vacua of string theory that are compatible with the standard model spectrum, but in cases when we get more after compactification choice of specific vacuums, we also want to get additional predictions that are beyond the standard model predictions. Well, in idealized world, what we would like to have is actually unique prediction from string theory. Okay. more robust predictions of string theory, something that would be universal for all string solutions. Okay? So to go back now to the strings, we would like to test now this theory to produce for us, it has gravity for a ride, but it also produces, has to produce for us particle physics. And so the hope is the string theory would have specific predictions as far as particle physics goes. And at current stage, what we are after is to look for solutions of four-dimensional string theory that would be mapped as far as properties of standard models go, and hopefully in addition give us some more robust ideas about what is beyond MSSM there. So I'll try to highlight some of the aspects and some of the techniques by which we try to reproduce particle physics from string theory. Any questions? Well, another important issue where we are faced with experiments is cosmology. And here, in particular, the experiments have led us to exciting possibilities associated with a cosmic microwave background anisotropy. There are also further potential insights that we may be getting as far as evidence for dark energy and dark matter. And we are going to actually hear from experimentalists about issues like that at this focus week on string cosmology. In particular, the issues of cosmic microwave background would have, within models of cosmology, would have an implementation into inflationary scenarios. Also alternative ideas of early cosmology. Here we are expecting from Planck more detailed information on anisotropies, and as you know, also the actual model building within this context is a very dynamic field nowadays. There were also experimental data like from Pamela and Fermi that were indicating potential candidates, possibility of explaining some of the data, astrophysics data, with dark matter candidates. We also have, of course, WMAP results and all that, that could indicate also dark energy, and there's a big inflation of papers, of models in this context trying to explain aspects like that. Okay. My view is that the issues of dark matter, that basically if it's associated with elementary particle that we have not observed yet, would naturally also fit at the interface with particle physics, identify particles that are within this consistent construction. So that's the reason why a lot of people, model builders in particle physics, also work at the interface with issues of cosmology. So as far now as cosmology goes, we are dealing with sets of different models that try to map current and future data. But as string theorists, we hope to have some insight also in the issues of early universe. And actually, that's the framework when one would think that string theory is actually more naturally suited for it, because it's supposed to be a consistent theory of gravity. And early cosmology is the regime where actually strongly gravitating aspects of the theory are important. And so the hope is that actually also string theory could shed some light on early cosmology. So personally, I am not expert on details of the on the work pursued within this context. So I will probably highlight some of the things in the later part. But there are definitely people here in the audience as well as permanent members of the institute that worked intensely on those aspects. Where more my domain is actually in the direction of trying to derive particle physics from what we know about string theory. Any questions? Yes.
Does string theory always give you an inflationary scenario, or give you many possible inflations?
It's many possible inflations, and if I'm a bit more negative even, one may have to require certain fine-tunings. It's not... inflation does not come generically within scenarios. But maybe my colleagues that are much more optimistic, like Eva, can correct me.
It can be natural in the Wilsonian sense if you have a shift symmetry, like with an axion field. It's an old idea, but one which is realized in string theory with a few extra bells and whistles.
Yeah, so again, coming from models like that and modeling.
But I mean, maybe a fair characterization though would be to say that inflation, many scenarios for inflation are not natural in field theory. Those ones can be realized in string theory in a non-natural way. And there are some models for inflation that are natural in field theory, and those have also been seen to be realized in string theory in a natural way, as
you
said. Okay. I think it's also fair to say that from the string theory perspective, if you didn't try to make your background to produce inflation, it's not something you have stumbled across as something that comes out of every string theory background. And I think in the colloquial sense of natural, that means we still work a little hard to get it.
Right.
Although there are arguments, just going back to the beginning of inflation, that if you succeed, it makes such an enormous volume of space that maybe it dominates. Of course, this is hard to make.
Well, if I have had infinite amount of time, I would schedule the rest of the talk accordingly. So what I'm still hoping to tell you about in this context is the context in which we try to identify particle physics that comes out of string theory. So just first to make the pitch why we believe string theory is a consistent theory of quantum gravity. I will then turn to discussing a connection of string theory to particle physics. And for that, I will have to turn to a difficult and complicated issue that we face in string theory, which has to do with compactifying string theory that naturally lives in higher dimensions to string theory in four dimensions like our world. So it's a complicated issue of compactifications of string theory. And it's this step that from fairly unique structure of string theory that we see in higher dimensions, where we lose uniqueness of four dimensional predictions. By that I mean, if we had a unique way of going from higher dimensional string theory to four dimensions, we would have unique solutions to four dimensional string theory. But we are too good at it. Okay? It's actually the embarrassment of the riches that we faced even 25 years ago with just heterotic string. And things have not gotten better. They got even worse, we got even better, we understand different nature of four dimensional string theory. We are better and better. But with that, we are basically losing the essential uniqueness. And so starting then with compactification of string theory down to four dimensions, we also have encountered that different type of string theory, which are very few, to have naturally different generic properties as far as solutions in four dimensions go. So I will highlight very briefly aspects of the old theory that we believed is the best one to describe four-dimensional particle physics, heterodic string. But now we also can handle, thanks to Joe, lots of other corners of other type of string theories, in particular string theories with open strings, so the so-called example of solutions where we put D-brains in this background of compactified string theory. And again, if I had more time, the large core of efforts, in particular in the last 2 years, will focus on lifting description of solutions with D-brains to theory that handles string coupling non-perturbatively around specific D-brains, which is the so-called F-theory. And by the way, that will be a topic of a focus week next week. In part, we already have a lot of people working on those aspects right now, and some will be coming. So this is another interesting corner where we want to understand string compactification and the particle physics it gives us. So those would be some of the core aspects that I tried to highlight as far as addressing particle physics coming out of string theory. Okay. Well, this is a somewhat simplified version where actually we have a lot of ineffective theory, a lot of additional fields that don't have self-interaction, the so-called moduli, or one would also call that moduli problem, that now at the level of effective compactified theory, we can address in different contexts. One would be by introducing what we call non-perturbative effects in string compactifications. This could be like Euclidean D-brains that modify the ground state solutions and can produce for us potentials for those fields that originally had no potential. And another actually related through dualities effect is introducing fluxes, or I would refer to supergravity fluxes, both of them, basically what they do, they back react on geometry and produce for us potentials for these additional fields. And the hope in the context of current understanding of string theory is that it's this framework that would have connection to early cosmology. Okay. For us, what it does, it will render certain fields massive that were originally massless and non-self-interacting, stabilize our solutions, namely choice of compactification, but it would produce in effective theory a specific potential of the scalar fields that we can learn from top-down analysis. And it's this potentials, this effective theory, that we want to now use to explain early cosmology like inflation. Okay, so that's in the context in which we start connecting string theory to early cosmology as one proposal. Okay. And as we know, to have successful inflation, there are a lot of specific conditions on the structure of this potential, and that's where this discussion about natural, not natural, generic comes in. Okay, but it's really introducing effects that are on top of the aspects that we want to relate to our chiral matter of particle physics. Okay, so that's again the broad set of activities are precisely connecting issues like that, and again we'll hear a number of talks on that, like from Liam and others. So this is still the outline. Okay, now to the point. Well, you see, for me, it's hard to gauge because it's not clear to me where, what level to take or where I, you know. I'm too trivial, I'm sure, to 60% of the audience, but maybe I'm already too abstracting for others. So anyway, so let me go now, hopefully, address some of those issues here, okay? And then by that time, as we get there, there are experts in the audience, and I think we'll hear talks that will address some of the issues here in more detail. Though I would say astronomers would rather hear the second part. So in particular, why string theory? Well, still we believe it's, as David Gross said, I hope you're still saying that, it's the only game in town. As far as consistent quantum theory of gravity goes, that also would produce for us the rest of the particle physics that we by now know exists. Okay. So the reason why we got excited in mid-80s about string theory per se is realizing that actually as a quantum theory, it can actually be finite. So in particular, what one starts with is with an example of closed string as a classical object that propagates in the target space, let it be identified with the target coordinate of our space. As time goes on, it sweeps out a worksheet that depends on the proper time, and because it's extended object, it depends on also on spatial coordinate sigma that is finite. Okay. Nevertheless, it signifies the fact that it's extended object. So like for a particle propagating in ordinary space, we write the action that satisfies minimum action principle. Similarly, Nambu and Godot did the same for the string and wrote the action associated with the propagation of now such a string. So it's an action that depends both on sigma and tau, and then the rest can be written as effectively an area associated with pullback of this target space onto the worksheet of the string. So it's a Nambu-Goto area, which has a structure of determinant of the metric, pullback of the metric, so it would involve G. So let me call it alpha, beta, mu, nu. So it's a pullback of the metric where alpha and beta go over the worksheet coordinates. Actually, this action can be written in a much more suggestive way if we choose the worksheet metric, gamma, alpha, beta, to be an independent parameter, and we can write this action in terms of what is Brink-Dibeckia Polyakov action, and in this case it turns out to be written in a more straightforward suggestive way that involves now the independent metric, which is determinant of the worksheet metric, and then also now as far as the action goes associated with this now bosonic coordinate in the target space, it contains now just bilinear derivatives of this target coordinate with respect to worksheet coordinates and dotted with the target space metric in which the string propagates. If we are in flat space-time dimensions, and in this case, we can actually gauge fix this action further by taking the worksheet metric effectively flat. We can write now, using minimal action principle, we could actually now write equation for this bosonic coordinates functions of this worship coordinate sigma and tau, and one convenient way of writing equation of motion for such a stream propagating in ordinary space is by writing in terms of just conveniently rescaled worship coordinates z and z bar, where z and z bar are related to exponentiating sigma and tau accordingly. And that's in particular Gibbs choice. Okay. This is very simple equation to solve. This is actually harmonic oscillator. We can expand this mode in terms of harmonic oscillators, use this harmonic oscillators to act on our quantum mechanical states, Fock space, and obtain physical states coming out as particles. So in particular, we can now one property associated with appearance of physical states now has to do with the fact that oscillators on this bosonic string split into oscillators only depending on Z combination and Z bar. And we like to call that left moving and right moving modes. And it has to do with the fact that we started with 1+1 dimensional field theory. And so actually all this oscillator mode split into creating states independent in this sector and this sector. It depends only on one combination of sigma. I like to call that tapping the string with one set of little Planckian hammers in one direction, tau plus I sigma, and in the other, independently, tau minus I sigma, and see what am I exciting out of the string. Okay? So one particular mode that we see is the state that we can create by using one oscillator acting on the left moving vacuum, and another one that acts on the right moving vacuum. And actually, we have as many oscillators as we have coordinates in which this string moves, so all coordinates of our target space. And it's this particular state that now we can associate it with the particle physics excitation that depends on two symmetric indices in ordinary space. So basically I can relate that now to a state that has indices mu nu, and actually in terms of this state I can write that as its corresponding vertex in this theory that excites the state as dz z bar mu with some momentum, but this state happens to be at the momentum level zero. So it actually turns out to be a massless excitation of this string theory with independent excitations, one basically left and right moving sector. And this is a state associated with symmetric two-component index. So this is a candidate for graviton. Okay, and that's the essence why in string theory we always believe we have gravity. Okay, because in this first quantized version we actually so this is excitation vertex for graviton. The gravity is always there. What happened in 84 is realization that at quantum level, formulating now this action, putting into path integral, we have to worry about anomalies. Because this is still an action with huge symmetry and all that, we fix it, and it was a realization that actually we can cancel anomalies, that now this path integral formulated string action can have if we choose the string to propagate in certain number of dimensions. Okay, so gravity is there, but the issue whether the theory makes sense now as far as path integrals, so we now integrate, we formulate vacuum to vacuum amplitude of this bosonic fields, also all the choices of the worksheet metric fields supplemented with this Polyakov action. Well, there are issues with the symmetry, big symmetry, we H fix it, And actually, this action was argued that is actually does not involve anomalies if mu runs in flat space from 1 to 10. So one was chosen to be time target space, the other, no, you should correct me, it's actually 26, right? And the other would be the spatial coordinates. Okay. There is more to the story. This theory of just bosons had more problems. It actually had a state just that seemed to be the right state, even at the lowest energy level, with no excitations, and this state has mass dimension negative. That was the problem with bosonic string. So that gave us actually the negative, the tachyons. Okay. So as far as tachyons goes, they have been fixed by promoting bosonic string theory and adding additional coordinates that we refer to as target space Wolschmidt fermionic coordinates. So we supplement those bosonic coordinates in which directions of which string propagate with additional fermionic coordinates, now also depending on Wolschmidt coordinates, z and z bar. Okay. So you should have asked me also, so in this case, it turns out the theory is free of anomalies if we have 10 dimensions. So one time, the others are spatial dimension, but it also fixed the problem with tachyons because ground state did not have negative mass square state as a ground state. So so it's this 10-dimensional superstring theory that we like to use as a starting point of dealing with string theory. It always had graviton, as I keep emphasizing, as massless state. And now in this specific choice of dimensions in flat space, it's forced to live in 10 dimensions. Okay, any questions? So in any, yes, please, do so, yeah. So yeah.
So 26 is just a from mathematics, just basically try to avoid the anomaly.
Yes.
It's a minimum number.
Yes, it's a minimum number, and it's assuming that the whole theory these coordinates are in the flat.
It's also just from a mathematical property of the symmetry, but you add this extra requirement.
Yes, yeah, because you see, you want to treat this theory as a quantum theory. That's the whole, the price would be, as far as gravity goes, graviton is always there, so that's a quantum state in the theory. But you want the theory as a field theory, quantum field theory, to be anomaly free. Otherwise, you don't have real calculational techniques to handle it. So that's the reason, and that's about now 25 years old reason, basically, right? That why we want this theory. Because we argue that in this context, we can treat gravity as a quantum theory, okay? So we see how all this behavior associated with this massive state at the loop level of the string theory, We can calculate those things. We can really calculate those things and get the actual string theory calculation of higher order terms of scattering, not just of, lowest order gravitons, but also higher order gravitons, and get actual calculational predictions. The problem is it's in 10 dimensions. Okay? It's a 10 dimensions. And it's basically in the simplest case of just this naive superstring theory, it's just gravity, effectively, that we get at massless level. Okay, so in defective theory, we get higher order terms that we can calculate now in this quantum theory with actual predictions, okay, that we couldn't in Einstein's gravity, even in 10 dimensions, right? Because we would get infinities and no counter terms to cancel it, okay? That is the basic excitement, but I'm a little slow here. So that's the old story. What we want to do, we are more ambitious now. We want to go to particle physics. We want to go to our world, okay? And this is the core of the efforts, to connect this consistent theory of quantum gravity with particle physics. Okay. There are actually two quantities that we are dealing with in this context as units go. One unit is actually the dimension of this action, and that one involves what we call string tension. And that depends to pi's and all that. I won't be careful enough, okay? Alpha prime is a string tension, and actually alpha prime can be also related to what we call string scale. So this is M string square. In energy units is 1/ M string scale. Okay? We expect this tension to be of the order of inverse of the order of Planck radii, 10^-3 33 centimeters or so, correspondingly string scale close to Planck scale as far as you know. But this is a parameter of string theory. Okay. Another parameter in string theory that we are dealing with is as we in our path integral formulate over all possible our path integral over all possible worksheet metrics, we can now start putting, you know, splitting strings, connecting strings, and the worksheet becomes more complicated. And this is what includes now interactions in string theory. So as we sum over all possible metrics, we would have, for example, just vacuum to vacuum. This would be simplest diagram. But now we can think of more complicated metrics, worksheet metrics. And basically, we are thinking about splitting strings and reconnecting them back to the pure vacuum, which would now allow us to look at higher order corrections to this path in our own metrics that have Riemann surfaces, you know, of higher genus. Okay, and it's actually the number of splittings and reconnections of strings that we have at higher order that we would parameterize just with the strength, which we call G-string. So maybe I should write this to power function of G-string, and then we sum over all possible, okay, reconnections of strings. So the second parameter in string theory, along with the string tension, there is also the string coupling. Okay, so those are what we call higher genus corrections, higher order corrections. We hope to get away in our calculations with the limit when G-string is very small, okay, and hopefully have calculational techniques and say higher order corrections are small and small. This is what we call perturbative string theory. Okay, all right. So this is basically naive, very brief, very superficial way of giving you an idea why we want to deal with string theory as consistent quantum field theory, but also plagued with the problem that we are dealing with as a theory has to live in 10 dimensions.
Do you have a non-perturbative definition of the theory?
Sorry?
I mean, you only have a perturbative definition to any order, but you don't have a non-perturbative definition.
Well, we are trying to handle non-perturbative aspects by including effects of Euclidean configurations in this background, what we call Euclidean deep brains, or so that would modify this naive background. So we are putting some defects there that are in nature non-perturbative defects, and then extend this path integral by including these new backgrounds. Okay, those are, you know, one language used in modern string theory is the instantons, for example. Okay, but I haven't even gotten, I just showed you one closed string, right? And so so anyway, let me just, I'm awfully slow, so I want to just give you some few more points to get us at least to the particle physics aspects. Okay. So our actual problem is that the theory per se, we can handle in 10 dimensions, but our world is four-dimensional. Okay. As massless excitations, we typically get just graviton in 10 dimensions. We hope to get, as we go to four dimensions, also particle physics excitation, like spin 1 bosons, and also our quarks and leptons. And so the effort is focusing on going from 10 dimensions down to four dimensions. Okay. So using, for example, a superstring theory of that type, and choosing 6 of those 9 spatial dimensions to be compact. So we are basically, instead of having infinitely long line for particular dimension, we identify points under particular translation. So if we translate and identify this point with that, after translation R, then our infinite non-compact space in particular direction becomes a compact space, okay, with the size r. Okay. And so so that would be curling up one dimension on a circle. It's the essence of Kaluza-Klein theory, but now we have to deal with the whole string theory in this context. In any case, doing that for all six directions, we have to choose a compact six-dimensional space whose size would be much smaller than energies at which we can probe new physics. Okay, at least sizes much sizes associated with the inverse energies that would be much much smaller than the energy associated with inverse TV scales. So in other ways. In this process, what we also want to do is we want to deal with something that we have control over perturbatively and that would be stable. And for that we started with superstring effectively here theory. We want to get solutions that have some supersymmetry. Okay? So we refer to as n equal 1 supersymmetry. So you would have one super partner associated with each field that we have in our spectrum of light states. Okay. Now, to ensure that, we cannot choose any six-dimensional compact space. Okay. They have to be special spaces with special curvature, or sometimes we refer to special holonomy. Namely, we transport any vector along any closed curve in internal space. This vector has to come back, you know, in well-defined way. And so we are talking about the special curvature spaces or special holonomy spaces. Well, you know, the simplest guy that we could think about it would be just making six circles. Right? Six circles. And we could put six circles, you know, this is one circle and another circle. And that could be like a compact two-dimensional space, which we call two torus. And then we do the third circle and four, we combine them, right? That is as another two torus and another two torus. Very naive. Special case of talking, describing now some simplest possible six-dimensional space. This space is too simple. It turns out that if we compacted by the string theory down to those dimensions, in this case, we would have more supersymmetry, and then we don't expect our body is not as supersymmetric. So we have to do something. Okay. The way we fix that is we identify this point of torus under some discrete rotation and get some fixed points. What we call orbifold singularities, for example. All right. Well, that looks pretty singular if it were field theory, but to strings it's not. It turns out to be well-defined theory. Another way is blowing this up and keeping the special curvature of the space, and that would be, in most general case, such space would be six-dimensional space, which we refer to as Calabi-Yau or threefold. Okay. So three complex dimensions. So this is just then a special limit, what we call this examples would be then orbifold. And it's just a special limit of more general compact space with special holonomy. Okay. Now these spaces have metric, they're curved. We know very little about explicit metric of the spaces. So if we want to now use our string Polyakov action that propagates on this type of spaces when we even don't know the explicit metric, the task is very difficult. Okay. We could use some approximations in this case in terms of string tension ratio over the size of Calabi-Yau. No, I think it's this. Yeah, alpha prime over r Calabi-Yau square. If the string size, okay, is much smaller than the size of Calabi-Yau, this is a small quantity, this can look approximately flat space. We can expand in powers like that and start quantizing string in that background. Okay. To learn now more about four-dimensional theory. Okay. Another way of understanding some of the aspects is using algebraic geometry. Algebraic geometry will allow us, with their techniques, to determine, for example, how many light states we have in lower dimensional theory on specific Calabi-Yau space with specific topology. Okay, but it won't tell us enough details about interactions and all that in effective theory. So it's somewhat limited, but incredibly powerful technique to determine massless spectrum. In four dimensions. So what I'm after is, you see, once I compactify the string theory, that basically at massless level just has graviton, or super, you know, the whole super multiply. In four dimensions, when I compactify on this space, I want to see what is the actual symmetry that I have. What are spin one particles? What are the matter fields, and so on. And this would be then related to using certain techniques to determine the zero modes, massless modes in this background, Calabi-Yau background, on higher dimensional fields, determine the number of massless modes like that, but would give us information on massless states. So it's a somewhat limited technique because we don't have the full quantization of string theory in this context, but still incredibly powerful with tremendous development in past 15 years. Okay, so that's something that is technical, but I cannot go into more details at this point. Another aspect is to go to some special limits that looks pretty flat, except for the singularities. In this case, if we look at the string, you see now proper closed string propagating in this background. It's pretty much like a string propagating in flat space. So we could quantize it. It's just keeping some new boundary condition that it's flat space but compact, okay? And identify massless excitations now in four dimensions, okay? By quantizing such free string. So this is basically free string that we could quantize again, but with non-trivial boundary conditions. So the techniques when we actually quantize this now, not just for this orbifold background, here it would still be, we can also quantize strings stuck there and so on. We have actually conformal field theory techniques. Okay. By which we can determine spectrum. So this is some more general classes. These are special classes when we can, and we can now make, say, for this particular prediction, for this particular choice of compact space, we can now calculate in four dimensions what are my massless states in the string theory. Here I can also address the interactions about among those massless states, again using conformal field theory techniques. Okay. In algebraic geometry, those things are much harder. We are basically at the level of getting massless excitations in general backgrounds. Okay? But you see, you are already getting the feeling that depending which compactification we chose, we would get different massless spectrum of string theory. Okay? Some of them will look like very dull theories, you know, with no quarks and leptons. Some will look with not right gauge groups. Some of them will look, you know, with extra stuff. So clearly, we get a lot of different possibilities, but as we should, with the choices of Calabi-Yau compactification, we get different type of theories in four dimensions. So we could talk about the landscape of different four-dimensional theories. Now, landscape. That would then, in principle, for each of the choice of compactifications, we would get different spectrum, different theory. Okay? And so to some extent, this for us is really now a drawback, because we know how to make consistent theory. We know even how to calculate spectrum in four dimensions, but we have many possibilities. Okay? So at current stages, what we are doing is focusing on specific compactification, specific string theory that will give us standard model out, okay? So this is what we call engineering prescription or procedure, okay? So because most of the time we won't get chiral spectra of three quarks and leptons and so on. So we are actually pursuing this approach by starting with consistent compactifications and engineering them so that we get standard model particles. Yes, sir. So choose string theory, compactify it on specific six-dimensional space in such a way that you would get standard model gauge group plus three copies of quarks and leptons plus a Higgs. Actually, for Susie example, just two Higgs doublets. Okay. So that's the choose thing in such a way that you get this stuff. So you can scan a lot of possibilities. You can choose also different string theory, which will be the last point I will be making. Okay? You choose a particular string theory, you compactify, and you better choose that in a way, okay, that you get that in the spectrum. Well, when you do your calculation, you can engineer these things to get there. But what typically happens is, you don't get only the standard model spectrum. You get stuff. Okay. And stuff that drags us down in real world, and it's the stuff that drags us down also in this engineering procedure. Okay. Typically, for different compactification, we get extra gauge groups. So additional gauge groups. Sometimes additional particles, even that are charged on the standard model. Additional particles. Some of them could be good. Some of them could be dark matter candidates. Right? Some of them could be discovered at LHC. Okay? But what would be great in this context is if we had a smoking gun here. If we had robust prediction from all this compactification, we get always this. We always get this additional stuff. And again, I have to say, we still don't have it. Certain corners of different string theories have certain features that are more robust in this context. But frankly, we are not at a stage that we would have unique particle prediction after compactification. In addition, yes.
We're not at that stage. Is this something you could anticipate would change, or do you think that we'll just understand better and better and see that in fact the different corners really do make distinct predictions?
The hope is, you know, a lot of this stuff, I mean, goes in two-pronged thing, understanding this better and techniques. Once we understand techniques better and we get better at analyzing this compactification, we get better ideas what these corners generically predict for us. Okay, so
okay, but we're getting farther away from a general prediction, but we're getting many more specific predictions in specific contexts.
Yes, and that will get me to now specific subcontexts, and that should be just 5 minutes, right? Okay, so let me just give
you a quick question.
Yes.
There are multiple ways of getting the standard model plus additional stuff.
Yes, this is the message, yes.
But you do successfully generate the standard model often.
Yes, and I think this is probably, you know, a good indication. The fact that we can get chiral matter. What I mean is massless fermions at large energies, okay? It's very hard to get in ordinary higher dimensional field theories. You have to do all kinds of special things. Here it often comes for free. Chirality is not hard to ensure in this context. And it has to do with that we are dealing with string theory. Okay? So is that an evidence that string theory is on the right path? It's encouraging. It's encouraging thing that chirality, non-abelian gait symmetry comes very easily out in this context. And it has to do with the fact that it's string theory. So I would show you one example, one particular corner, right? One particular string theory where this is so geometric and compelling. Okay, they will say, okay, you know, you just engineer this thing and you see where matter is. Right? So it's compelling, but it's not a proof that string theory is a particle physics theory. So our effort is to learn more about those things, develop techniques, and hopefully get from different corners more generic predictions about that. Okay?
Well, and that is general remark. I think the statement that string theory should predict the standard model might also be much too strong requirement. I mean,
Yes. Everybody
knows that quantum field theory works very well, but if we consider quantum field theory as a framework, it does not predict the standard model. We have to do the same. We have to engineer the gauge proof and then put in 3-4 platform generation. So in that sense, string theory is on the same footing as quantum field theory. It's not doing worse than quantum field theory.
No, it's not, but it's the extra stuff that could also maybe point, right, to things beyond the field theory aspects. But I fully agree with you. That's why I call it engineering, right? Because I engineer, I don't predict, right? That there are three families in ordinary world, right?
I'm just thinking that people have sometimes too high expectations. And I think it's a wrong view. If you see, field theory also does not predict the standard model. So why should string theory do it? So in that sense,
the hope is that this is a theory that will give us some idea about particle physics. That's one direction. Okay. So we are looking for this connection to particle physics. Are we looking for unique predictions? It's unlikely, as you are emphasizing. But the fact that it can give us that, right, it's encouraging property that the string theory does produce for us particle physics, not just gravity.
Could you produce this chiral gauge coupling?
Yes.
How can you do it? I can't see it. How you after this combat?
Right. Yeah. From just I showed you one closed string, and I'm saying I'm getting everything out right after six-dimensional measure compactification. Let me get to the point. I will point to you how I get chiral matter. Okay. How I get something that is space-time fermion. Okay. And it's massless excitational string. That's the what I would call chiral matter. Okay. For example. By chiral, it's a massless state. In four dimension, it's a field that is two component Valspinner. Okay, so it's a massless state. It's excitational string theory, right? That we identify now. We write effective theory of this massless field. It has no mass term because string theory predicted at K, that it was at the massless level. And it's a fermion. Those are two key ingredients that we want to obtain from string theory. Okay.
How can you produce this gauge coupling? Because
gauge coupling has to do with the coupling of this field, right? So I'm looking at the excitations of string theory, right? That are now quantum particles. Okay. So I'm identifying physical excitation of the string at mass level zero. Okay. I'm quantizing the string theory. I'm obtaining massless excitation at the mass level zero. I have infinite number of other excitations as well as I quantize string theory. But I want to focus on the part of excitation that at this scale at which I'm doing quantization, which is string scale, they are massless fields. Okay. And what I want to get is that I have, for example, specifically, what I want to get is gauge bosons. I want to get massless spin one fields from quantizing string theory that in four dimensions will be associated, for example, with this symmetry. So I would have three massless gauge bosons when I quantize string theory. But I will also have spin 1/2 particles. So this is W, and well, it's not actually Z, but okay. W3, okay? So they are massless states, but then I would also get massless spin 1/2 particle as physical state in this quantized, first quantized string theory, right? And this state should be doubled under the symmetry. Okay? I should get two different components, okay? Once I have this information, okay, because I have spin one field, okay, and I have massless fermion, the interaction that I can also calculate from string theory by looking at excitations of these W bosons with this fermion, as it is in Kuczynski's book, will be related to coupling this, for example, this doublet with very specific interaction, right? That would be effective interaction now of the theory with massless spin one particles and massless spin one half particle. Okay, is that what you're asking? Is how do you predict this coupling? Why, how do you predict that you have actual coupling between the spin one particles now in this theory and the spin one half particle?
So this precise left
yes.
component, right? Left-handed component.
Yes.
So you don't have to have the right-handed component in your theory.
Well, what is happening is yes, we get also massless fields. There is more to the story, okay? We get also massless fields that can now couple this fermion with another fermion. This one is a doublet. Okay, as far as your two numbers go. Okay. With another fermion, which is a singlet, together with the massless field, which we call boson, and that's what we call Yukawa coupling. Okay. So the theory is still massless, but what we have is we have coupling now of different type of fermions, and so this is SU2 index goes for that. So we have what we call Yukawa coupling in this standard model. Okay, and so the way we get mass for this massless state is in this effective theory that couples now this massless field through this Yukawa coupling, through this interaction. Okay, now we have effective theory of massless states, and we are looking now at low energy behavior, and we hope that low energy physics after supersymmetry breaking will produce condensation of this scalar field in Yukawa, and this is how we would obtain mass. This is in the standard model mechanism for this originally massless fields at high energies. So you see, in string theory, we want to identify massless states and how they interact at some large scale, string scale. And that's what we are after in this string compactification. So we identify massless states, and from string theory, we can calculate this effective couplings like this. Actually, we have for concrete compactification prediction, let me call this H, for this particular coupling, for concrete in some cases, right? And so we could actually predict now the mass if this were the top quark for the top field, because we can calculate this coupling.
So in the first term, the psi have two components.
Yes, so those would be I indices. Let me call that, okay, so this is, this goes over this guy, so this would be IJ, J. Those are two components, up-down quarks, for example. Here you have up-down quarks coupled to up-down Higgs, okay? And then with up we would have up right-handed quark, with down we would have down right-handed quark. This is how, this is in standard model, you know, notation.
But in the string theory, why this right-handed particle
yes.
don't have don't couple to the issue to be there.
Yes, that's what I want to. Can I? Yeah, there's no time, right? It's much too slow, right?
One of our programs, it's your program, has a talk beginning in that little while.
Okay. Could I maybe just tell you one, just this issue, how we could get in principle state like that is not charged under SU2,
yeah.
right? And state that is charged under SU2, okay?
Yeah.
So let me just go to the point, okay? We actually, I told you about one string theory, but we have five string theories. One is called heterotic E8 cross E8. That's all in 10 dimensions, Another one is called heterotic SO32. Another one is the superstring that I refer to as type 2. But depends how we formulate ground states. One is one type of theory and another one. So those are those superstring theories that I mentioned. These heterotic are a little bit more complicated. What they do, in left moving sector, you take superstring. In right moving sector, you take bosonic string. But then you curl up these 26 dimensions down to 10 on special circles that produce for you gauge bosons in 10 dimensions. Similarly, there's another way of doing it. Okay. So you see what we have is, and we have another one, which you call type 1, which in simplest version is the theory of open string, which I even haven't talked about yet, okay? But those were different string theories, and it's that one that we focused on prior to 95, okay? Because it has already in 10 dimensions this gate symmetry directly from closed string, and you hope, you know, associated with that, we put some vector bundles on that and calculate mass spectrum. It's not geometric, it's involved with algebraic geometry, okay? But it's these corners that we became vividly interested when we realized that some of these fields that we get from this theory actually can couple to open string states. Okay. So it's the appearance of what we call deep rings in this context that allowed us to explore these corners, okay? So I want to show you the simplest corner that I love to show, which argues how you can get in principle guy like that that is not charged under SV2 and the guy like that that is charged, okay? So, 2 minutes. So what deep rings are basically the boundaries conditions that we put on open strings. If we have a deep ring that is extended in, let's say, p space dimension and one time, we impose boundary condition. Open string has to satisfy Dirichlet Neumann boundary conditions on this boundary. So the sigma x should be 0 for sigma is 0 and pi. And then in this direction, you should satisfy the Dirichlet boundary conditions. This could be also written in these other directions, okay? So the fact that we can now put in this Calabi-Yau-Bagger, or in this compactification, objects, okay, that extend in certain number of dimensions on which open string couple, can give us new perspective how we get matter out and on abelian gate symmetry. Okay. So let me choose a particular example where I'm starting with these 6 brain. Okay. So by that I mean this is an object in 6 plus 1 world volume dimensions. 3 plus 1 is our world. 3 extra dimensions are in Calabi-Yau. So they have to wrap some, so this is the 6 dimensional space, and I'm putting these 6 brains here. So I'm putting boundaries of open string, so they would wrap some 3 dimensional compact cycle inside, right? So that would be cycle pi 3a, all right? Now the way we get matter out of this is quantizing open strings that start and end on the same grain. So this is now not closed, it's just open string, and dealing with quantization like this. Okay. If we have n brains, the strings can attach to each of those n boundaries together. So we would have n boundaries here and n bar boundaries here. Okay. So we quantize open string now in this context. Now this is a similar procedure like I showed you for graviton, but now for open strings. And that would always produce at the massless level for me a state that would come as excitation of coordinates on the boundary of the string and would be associated with the vector index psi I. So the massless state vertex would be associated with the massless state that has vector index stuck on this brain. And this is gauge boson. If we have n brains, we would have n square gauge bosons, which is U and gait symmetry. Okay, so N brains will produce for me spin one object stuck on this brain. And the same will do once we compactify that down to four dimensions. We still will have N square gauge bosons associated with UN symmetries. So those would be, if this were SU2, that would be two brains and we would take U2. But think about that now, that I can also choose another cycle and put another stack of brains. Okay? So I can take another D6 brain that wraps another three cycle. Okay? And let me just take one of them. It's a little simplified. So what kind of gauge boson am I going to get there? U1 gauge boson. Let's say, let this be hypercharged. It's not as simple, but let it be hypercharged, okay? So this will be hypercharged gauge boson living on on brains on which open strings are stuck, and so and this would be U2. Okay, so we sort of have a good geometric idea where gauge bosons come from. Okay, in this procedure, now I can look at this things. I can look at this point where those different cycles intersect. Okay? And let me take a magnifying glass here. Okay? And look at, so what I have is I have U2 brains in internal space that wrap three cycle, and I have U2 brain, sorry, U2 brain wraps three cycle, and let me say I have a U1 brain, right, that wraps another cycle. And so in internal space, two, three cycles would intersect at points, because three and three is six. That's the main reason. So that's about. So we look at now these intersections. Okay. So this is pretty much, you know, we now look at the open strings that start on U2 brain. Okay. And end on U1 brain. Okay. So I would quantize now those strings. Those are free strings, but they have now boundaries. Different, okay? And because here we have n equal 2 possibilities of this charge being stuck here, and here I have 1, okay? I get states that are charged under U2 and U1 in a form of 2 comma some charge, 1, okay? So states that I'll get from quantizing this string would be states that would be in bifundamental representation of this. Right, okay. The miraculous thing that happens is at this intersection, that at the massless level of quantizing the superstring, I get space-time fermionic state that is massless. So this is what I would call the chiral field in this representation. You know, I think it would be better. Oh, let me do this. Let me use the other one to be three. So for U3 color, so I have candidates for left-handed quarks, okay? So let this be U3 just for the sake of the, okay? So this is N equal 3. So I would have candidates for that, okay? So I would say this is geometric, okay? I look at intersection, quantize open string, I guess massless excitation of space of fermions, they are bifundamental representation, okay? Now, I may want to, how am I going to get now the right-handed quarks? In this context, right? That's what you're asking. Yeah, so I put another brain in it. Okay, so I said, yeah, I'm out of color, but I put another brain in this context, right? And let it be associated, maybe let this be U2 white. It happens to be neater if it comes from Padi Salam, but anyway. So let this be some symmetry that will eventually break to U1 hypercharge, okay? But anyway, now if I intersect n equal 3 with this brain, I get states here, massless states here, okay? And they are now in bifundamental, so let me call them 2 right. So these states are now in the representation 3, actually 3 bar, and then it's representation under this additional symmetry, U2R, okay? They are not charged under this, U2 left.
then you predict this right-handed fermion should couple to some other gauge field.
Yes, indeed. So this could be directly constructed to some U1, not necessarily U2, right? Okay.
And so do you think we can find a new force on LHA?
Yes, those are additional gauge bosons. This is one of the generic prediction people would like to say, okay? Because the way it appears is by fundamental matter of left and right guys, right? But so what I wanted to argue is that there is a way, some corner, right, of all these different string theories where this looks rather geometric, okay? And you get this chiral matter in these different representations. Okay.
So could I make a conclusion that any fermion should couple to a certain kind of gauge field?
Yeah, I should. Yeah, maybe we can discuss it privately. I mean, this is just one way. We actually are, what is the exciting thing is lifting that not to intersect in these six brains, but the seven brains that don't intersect at points but curves. Put some plug, we have to put fluxes on the, it's very technical, that's what leads us to the study of co-quantification of F theory, not this type 2A theory that I sketched for you, that, you know, where we use involved techniques, both of algebraic geometry and this regular geometrical approach, trying to get particle physics out. Yeah. The second part that could be a separate talk would be talk about moduli. Okay. I didn't put any kind of the additional fields that have to do with the shape of the scalabiales, the shape of the cycles, and so on. Those are additional fields that we always get in addition to particle physics. And it's that sector that one is focusing on to understand better how this moduli could be stabilized, how they could contribute to issues of cosmology, and so on. So maybe I should wrap this up. So maybe I gave you some minor glimpse of how we try to approach and getting some of the features of particle physics out of modern string theory. Thank you.